99.3 Nigeria Info.
Now let's get started. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3, on those two platforms, Facebook and YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're going to start with the Punch, page 2 of the Punch. 73 Zamfara students abduction. ASCF fumes as governor tells residents to fight back.
The governor doesn't need to tell anybody to fight back. You'll have to fight back or you flee for your life. You know, these public officers who keep telling people to... You don't need to tell anybody to either fight back or flee for his life, as it is. I mean, that's a given. But what we're beginning to see, to be honest with you, is that the government continually exhibits a character of not having the capacity to deal with the problem that we have. This has been a carefully crafted sentence. I'm proud of it. You know, they're showing that the signs are that, you know, the government might not have the capacity to contain what we have. What we have here is that gunmen on Wednesday, that's yesterday, invaded the Government Day Secondary School Kaya in Maradun and abducted 73 students, no fewer than 73 students. And as at the time the gunmen were attacking the Kaya school, the state governor, Bello Matawalle, was attending a prayer session organized by his administration. I mean, if it has come to that, I'm not saying people shouldn't pray, don't get me wrong. But I would have preferred if somebody told me he was in a strategic meeting and trying to get something done. When we don't know what to do, then they will now decide, okay, let's go. So the state now organizes prayer, you know, and organizes prayers. I don't want to touch sensitivities of religion this morning, so I just leave it at that. But it's a bad situation. An ex-councillor said he lost 4 daughters. The Zamfara governor has said this. Listen to what he said. What I'm reading from the Punch.
Yeah.
It says, use any weapon at your disposal, come out en masse. He says that at the prayer session in Gusau, the state capital, the Zamfara governor called on the people of the state to wake up and defend themselves against attacks by bandits. Again, I would call that an abdication of authority.
That's right.
Of authority. And they have bound the people to the Philistines. They should now go take care of themselves. And he says, use any weapon. Use any weapon. Okay? And don't forget, most of these invaders, they come with AK-47s, they come with this and they come with that. If you tell a man to use any weapon, if he uses the first weapon and it's not effective, he's bound to go look for something better. So I leave the rest to your imagination and interpretation. Listen to what Matawalle says. He says, I'm calling on the people of the state, particularly those in the rural areas, to use all the available weapons at their disposal and protect themselves whenever the bandits attack their villages. As from today, you should come out en masse and face the bandits if they come to your village. Do not sleep in the night. And if you get any information that the bandits are coming to your communities to attack you, try to ambush them with all the weapons in your possession, and so on and so forth. So this is the governor. Usually it should be the other way around. People should be running to the governor for protection, and he should be saying, okay, you can sleep with your two eyes open, we will protect you, because that's the primary aim of governance. But since he says that, okay, you can use any weapon. So what the question now is, what is his role as a governor in all this now? Has he abdicated? Is he ready to leave the stage for somebody who might be ready to protect the people?
He had once called for a state of emergency. I mean, just last week or thereabout, he called for a state of emergency to be declared in the entire northern region. And I mean, even some prominent northern groups have said that perhaps that's the only thing that is left right now, because the governors are, quite frankly, they're helpless.
Well, I think a governor who has a bit more imagination can find a way around this. I refuse to believe that a governor is totally helpless just because of it. You must find a way around this. And one of the ways around it is that if you think that you've run out of ideas, you let somebody else take over, you put your people first. Did you get what I'm saying? I understand that, yes, okay, things are difficult for them, but if you think that, look, you can say to them, I've tried all I can.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody else would have a better idea. That to me would be more honorable than you sit back in government house, protected, having all the protection that you can, and now you ban the people to the Philistines and tell them to go take care of themselves. Only in Nigeria would you hear a thing like that. But what it does tell us is that things are very bad, they're getting worse. You must now all think about how you would defend yourself in case these things happen. Don't sit in comfort in Lagos and think it will never come here. I just hope that we are not surprised one day, to be honest with you. I just hope, because we are on radio, I can't tell you my far-reaching thoughts on these matters. I don't want any, I don't want any trouble for anybody. But my thoughts are far-reaching. You know, the implications of these things are far-reaching. And one is trying to show a bit of restraint here.
Right.
Not that I don't want to tell people certain truths, but you cannot, create problems for other people just because you want to do the needful, as it were. I hope a lot of you will understand my parable.
Let's leave the punch. Let's go to the Vanguard newspaper this morning. Outrage as FG blows hot at religious political critics.
Oh, dear. Alhaji Muhammad yesterday, he wants political, religious, and opinion leaders to stop making inciting statements capable of setting the country ablaze. I would have thought that he would extend this warning to people within the government itself. Because even some of the government spokespersons, they have made it look sometimes as if the government is attacking his own individuals, his own citizens. And some of the things that even government officials have said could incite. You understand what I'm saying? And so we all of us are complicit in this. I agree with him, though. That you do have religious leaders, politicians, yes, but even their own people are complicit in this. And I think there's a need for all of us to heed this, including those who are in government. He was speaking yesterday at the news agency of he was speaking to NAN yesterday. He cautioned the media, and he singled us out, particularly broadcast stations, which he described as purveyors of incendiary rhetoric, to abide by broadcast codes and other regulations guiding them. I feel particularly, I don't feel comfortable being described as a purveyor of incendiary rhetoric. I don't like that. Even the language to us is not right.
It's very rude, actually.
And it's rude. I feel insulted.
It's quite rude.
The
thing about government officials is that once they are in that position of regulatory or administrative, they feel they can address the other individuals outside of government
Lai Mohammed is guilty of what he is accusing us of.
They talk unguardedly.
Yes,
they just say
as
things.
Purveyors. Who he described as purveyors of incendiary rhetoric. I take exception to being addressed in that manner. And when I
it's outrightly rude.
It's rude.
And uncouth of a minister.
So all of us are guilty. And he says that in the last few weeks, the country has been awash, especially from the broadcast media, with very incendiary rhetoric, which has created a sort of panic. The veiled reference is to that commodore.
Why can't you just address an issue directly?
Directly.
Why hasn't the government
reacted straight up to what the Commodore said on China's television? That's where it's all going. The man made a statement, and he was virtually ready to, and he's been invited.
He was invited. He has appeared. He has left.
So we can say that he says he said that it's coming from political, religious leaders and opinion molders, and we should have add. I would now then add some government officials. And he says this is because the rhetoric is pitting one ethnic group and religion against the other, overheating the polity. And he says a serious counsel to stakeholders is that they should understand and remember that leadership comes with a lot of responsibilities. leadership comes with a lot of responsibilities. It doesn't say any all leadership comes with a lot of, and it says, tone down the hateful rhetoric because they are harmful for the country. So we leave it at that. I'm not interested in picking bones with anybody on this. But I think everybody just needs to be very, very, very careful. And that would include, I must add, the minister himself.
Absolutely.
A lot of the problems we have are caused initially by either government attitude or government rhetoric. We keep talking about imbalance. We keep talking about imbalance and we are ignored. And like somebody said, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. All of us have a duty to preserve this country. And it's not just us the people, the leaders themselves, especially the politicians. We are ignored. Doctors have been on strike for close to 30 days, and leaders, we find them taking selfies and photographs in UK hospitals. And we here, we've been bound to the Philistines, and yet somebody comes and talks about about rhetoric and so on and so forth. What about actions?
Doctors have been on strike
for close to 30 days.
It's a month already. And if we discuss that and people get agitated, someone comes in and says the media is trying to inflame passions and trying to incite the public. What are you doing in your capacity? Why should doctors be on strike for a month? Why?
In any country for that matter. And then the leaders, the same leaders who campaigned, who went through the whole country and were campaigning, they are taking selfies and having a good time in the United Kingdom. Some of them at our own expense.
You now come here. You can't take criticism. So why are you in government? Why are you there? The media is not your problem. The media is not the government's problem. The media is there to do their job. We're going to move on now. Let nobody. Jimmy, do you want cocoa?
Hot
cocoa?
No, I don't. I don't trust anything anybody gives me these days.
Is hot cocoa to you?
I don't care what it is.
I have milk is inside.
My ancestors appeared to me yesterday, so I shouldn't take anything from anybody.
Ancestors? From where?
we need to cool it down. Putting jokes aside, we need to start to tell ourselves some home truths. Enough of all this. Enough of this bullying. We know where the fault lies. We don't address it. How should I feel as a citizen in my own country? I don't have access to healthcare. And my own leaders are clinking glasses, taking selfies in London hospitals, visiting each other.
People are dying. Children are being picked up from schools. Inside the bush, trekking for days. Starved. Some of them killed. And the media is your problem.
It's not my problem. Are you talking to me?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Let's go on.
Let's pick up the Vanguard page 22. Conflicting court orders, sanctioned judges, lawyers involved, Agbakoba, Quakers, Candid Johnson, Erugo, Fashanu Aliyu, others. I like this story.
Yeah. That's the third dam of government. See what we have. Now, a lot of the lawyers are out here. And this makes very interesting reading. I congratulate Innocent Anaba and Onozure Denia of Vanguard for doing a two-page spread, on opinions on this, because some of the opinions are varied. Let me read here. Agbakoba says that, his SAN, he says that the NJC must take urgent steps to stop this malpractice. And he says this recurring trend of absolutely ridiculous conflict. I hope all of you know where we are talking about. Okay, fine. Conflict in rulings and judgments of courts of coordinate jurisdiction tarnishes the image of the judiciary. The strongest possible measure and sanctions must be applied to any judicial officer. And it goes on. He says, in one of the cases, I have difficulty in understanding how a judge sitting in Jigawa State will presume to have jurisdiction in respect of election matters arising from Anambra State politics. Quakers, Norrison Quakers, SCN, says that he talks about the intervention of the CJ, who invited the CJs of some of the other states to a meeting and says intervention of the CJA, though commendable, but unnecessary when reviewed and examined against the existing directive of the National Judicial Council, the constitutional body responsible for the exercise of disciplinary powers over judicial officers, and setting down and being responsible for policy issues and justice administration in micro and macro terms. Candid Johnson, my good friend Yemi Candid Johnson, SAN, in this response says that this is not a new phenomenon. The intervention of the CJN is not at all timely, and I fear that it may merely be a photo opportunity. It says this type of judicial confusion points to corruption and incompetence, and the fact that it is rife suggests that wide sections of the judiciary are willing to suborn their office for private profit. My other good friend here, Babatunde Fashanu, I haven't seen him for years. I went to school with this gentleman, Fashanu. SCN, he says, is of the view that while one does not support such conflicting orders in such circumstances, are the judges not entitled to make their respective orders based on what was put before them? This is the argument that I said is slightly varied from others. He says, if there is an abuse of process, there are provisions to deal with that. But that a chief judge of a state summoning a judge to his jurisdiction over an order, ruling or judgment he made in this court would be illegal, if not horrific. But for a CJN to do that to chief judges over their judge's order is a big deep south in the nation's search for a just and fair judicial system. Erugo, SAN, says that his professor says the conflicting orders by courts of coordinate jurisdiction are embarrassing to the judiciary in particular and the legal profession generally. Aliu SAN says even the Supreme Court have split decisions, so the trend cannot stop, especially where the court have jurisdiction, because they are all courts of coordinate jurisdiction. So what it means is that if I have a case, I can try go shopping in all the 36 states because of that's the kind of confusion.
Again, I think it's because largely our court system is not digitized. Because maybe some judges, I'm not saying that's a true situation, but maybe judges don't already know that a case has been decided on.
I think they would, because
they would
course,
know, Abi.
Yes, because the defendant, of course, would like to cite that hey, my lord, we already have another place.
Yeah.
I think look, this is the way I look. I'm not a lawyer. Let me be at that. But I think the practice of the law is predicated on the fact that all parties will be honorable and mature in applying the law. The law cannot, there's a limit to which you can split hairs down the line.
Yeah.
There's an expected level of maturity. I mean, Nigeria is 60 years plus. We never knew of things like this until maybe 10, 15 years ago. In political cases, really.
Right,
that's where the indiscipline starts. And we cannot run away from the fact that it might not be illegal, but it smells a lot of corruption. Why would I have a case in Lagos now? I have a case in Lagos. And because I'm not happy with the ruling I've gotten, rather than go to the appeal court, I'll now go to Jigawa State to go and get another judgment. I call it handbag shopping for this. And that's what we are going to discuss on Saturday.
Oh, fantastic.
At 8 o'clock. My main guest then will be GT Ogunye.
Okay, fantastic.
A lawyer that I respect so much.
Let's go to page 8 of Vanguard newspaper. Why I sacked power, Agri ministers, Buhari.
If I told you why I'm laughing, you throw me out of this studio, I'm telling you. But I won't say anything.
I won't ask.
No, please don't ask. But okay, so after 4 years and another 2 years, this is the first time, I think, I'd like to be corrected, that we are actually sacking ministers. The others left due to certain circumstances. And so the president, in his wisdom, has sacked the power and Agric ministers. And this rather says, more will follow. Now, instead of 2 years to the end of an eight-year tenure, and you say more will follow, why don't you? In the first instance, I wonder why he didn't change his cabinet for a second term. But even if you know more will follow, why don't you just reshuffle the cabinet now, once and for all?
Yeah,
I expect the president would have done his homework to say, look, for the last stretch. I need to reshuffle my cabinet. Those who have political ambitions can exit. And then those who I believe I'd like to remove, can also go and juggle everything.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is not being done, and we are going to be seeing these kind of things piecemeal. Mm. What it does is that it builds undue tension. It takes the mind of the ministers off the ball.
Mm.
We end up suffering for it. And so I'd like the president to please, in another month, be over and done with either sacking or reappointing.
Who is leaving.
Yes, let us see some planned action rather than something that is piecemeal. The surprise that I have is that in this list, I'm surprised that the Minister of Labor is not there.
Hmm.
But if for anything at all, for allowing a strike of the doctors to have gotten this far, the man should be removed. Or at the very least, he should be posted to another ministry. I don't like excuses. Someone is going to come up with all kinds of excuses. I don't like excuses. I want the job done. I want the job done. I don't want my people suffering and dying just because my labor minister cannot find a solution to the dispute. And in any case, I hope the president himself has stepped into this. It would be very sad if he hasn't.
It would be very sad.
Stepped into finding a resolution to this, to the doctor strike.
A month.
The impression that the president had given us.
My word.
The impression that the president has given us, the impression is what I'm saying, I'm choosing my words carefully, is that the impression we get is he really couldn't be bothered about certain things. But this one is vital. This one is vital.
In the middle of pandemic.
In the middle of a pandemic. This is vital. Who does that? Nobody does that. Nigeria is almost becoming a shame to be a Nigerian. How do you stand up? We had somebody yesterday, he was nominated to the World Health Organization.
That's right.
How does he stand up with pride at the meetings to tell them that, and somebody just asked him casually, oh, you're from Nigeria? I say, yes, welcome, professor. Yes. By the way, your resident doctors have been on strike for about 30 days in a pandemic. What do you want the man to do?
You see.
What would you want him to say?
You see. We are working on it.
I don't know. I think
you need to smile this morning.
I think retirement is virtually staring me.
We're done this morning. Let's just go. We're done.
Let's just go.
Let's be going. What's coming out Thursday? At 9.
We are going to do the. We are going to.
Sorry.
We are going to do. You know, there's this new movie that's in. It's a sequel to King of Boys. Mm. So I'm getting 2-3 people together.
Fantastic. I'll be here. I've not seen the movie though, but I should get on Netflix to see it today.
It is these are.
I don't see it today.
These are the little things that still give me pride as a Nigerian. I'm telling you, if I were to go by the way this country is being run, I'll be ashamed to be a Nigerian. I'd be ashamed to be a Nigerian. I don't know what kind of leaders we have. Your doctors have been on strike. Your people, even when the doctors were working, they couldn't cope.
You know.
And day in, day out. Why hasn't the Executive Council itself had a meeting with the doctors? Why hasn't the president locked the doctors up in a room and say, None of us are leaving this place until we get a resolution on the matter. This is a state of emergency.
It is.
I beg, Sheriff.
Emma Bino.
All right, we'll see you at 9.
We'll see you at 9. All right, okay. Thank you for being a part of the show. Morning to you.
Mommy, when is Aunt Valerie coming again?
So you can seize her phone.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.